Hello. Welcome to Monday Movie Munchie Madness. This is your co-host, Michael, reminding you, as I do every week, that this is a podcast that contains movie spoilers. The movie we'll be spoiling this week for you is Battle of the Sexes. Battle of the Sexes, a movie about tennis. Without further ado, here's the cast.
Welcome to Monday Movie Munchie Madness. I'm Nick Owen. I'm here with Michael Brown. Michael just challenged a little girl to a tennis match, I believe. That's not very nice of you.
Yeah, and I'm going to crush her.
Michael, how are you?
I'm good. Feeling a little competitive.
Yes.
But I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Yes. Well.
And this week we saw Battle of the Sexes, starring Emma Stone, Steve Carell,
and the rest of the gang.
Some other people.
Yeah.
We'll talk about along the way.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts? What are your fears?
Thoughts, fears, hopes, dreams. I gotta say, right off the bat, I really enjoyed this movie. I don't know if you did or not, but I really enjoyed it. We saw it separately this week, which is not usual.
Yeah.
It's not usual for us, so
it's
we're
always,
sitting here.
It's always a little different.
Yeah. It's true, yeah, it's not always the same, but we're sitting here, we're having a little bit of a standoff because we're not really sure how the other one felt about the movie yet.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it.
You didn't like it? Oh, this will be great then. Oh, I can't wait.
What did you like? Oh, I thought it was like, I thought every scene kind of dragged on a couple minutes long.
Uh-huh.
I thought like the movie in general could have shaved like, I don't know, 45 minutes off of it. And it was like an hour, or it was 2 hours long.
I went in, I didn't look at how long it was. I went and saw this movie at a 9:15 show.
Yeah.
And I was like,
9:15 p.m.
P.M. I was like, I'll be home by 11:15. I didn't even get out of the movie until 11:45.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, you're always going to count the 20 minutes of trailers, of course.
Right, that's true. Yeah, which I didn't.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, but even still.
It's a far drive for you, too, right?
Yeah, it was like, fuck. This movie's not very widely released yet, which is, I don't really know why that is.
Yeah, very limited release. I meant to look up on Box Office Mojo to see exactly. I think it says exactly, like, how many theaters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be interesting to find out. Yeah, but we both saw it in Mountain View.
Limited release. I thought originally we were going to have to like drive to San Francisco to see it.
Yeah, we almost did. That's the only other place it's playing in like Northern California.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I didn't have to do that.
Yeah, me too. I don't care how good a movie is. I'm not driving to... Well, I'll do it for the cast.
Do it for the Munchers.
I'll do it for the Munchers, but I'm not going to be happy about going to the city of San Francisco.
Yeah, of course. So what would you like...
I mean,
you right got a off, number for me yet?
I do. I mean, so my numbers, I was going back and forth between a 7 and an 8, so I'm going to give it a 7.5. And I'll through the cast, I'll explain why.
Yeah, and your prediction was a 6, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a 6.
And I remember also in your prediction, one of the things you were predicting was like everything's going to seem like we were in the 70s, right?
Yeah, I was just babbling on about how accurate they would make the time period.
Yeah, and it was, right?
Oh, extremely.
It was very good. Is that why it's so highly rated for you?
No, I think the reason it was so highly rated, honestly, was just because the cast was excellent. And I felt like everyone just... It looked like the cast was having a really good time with this movie. And I enjoyed it. I laughed. Yeah. I got the feels a couple times.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. Like, I really did. I liked it. Did you put a number on the movie yet?
I think I'm going to give it a 4.
Wow.
Which is one lower than my 5 prediction.
Okay. Yeah. Why so low?
Well, the first half of the movie, like I said, every scene kind of dragged on for me.
Mm.
And the first half of the movie... I was just begging for more Bobby Riggs all the time. That was like the only character I liked. Like, okay. I wanted to see Bobby. He was the most entertaining. Like, he was putting on a show, obviously. Like,
yeah.
In the movie, and his character Steve Carell is really good. And don't get me wrong, Emma Stone is really good too. But I felt like at the first half of the movie, they kept switching off between like one side of the story to the other side of the story. So like Emma Stone's side and then the Steve Carell, Bobby Riggs side, you know, right. Billie Jean King, they just kept switching off. And the Emma Stone side just kept dragging on. Like, I liked everything Bobby Riggs was doing, like with his son. And yeah,
that was a great relationship there.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt like the other half of the movie was just a little slow and just kind of boring in general.
So the first half of the movie was pretty much Billie Jean's love story.
Yeah, well, that's like...
Wasn't it Billie Jean?
Billie Jean King.
Billie Jean King.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you didn't really connect with that part of the movie?
Well, I don't know. I didn't think that was what the movie was going to be about.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be more about this match.
I also didn't think that's what the movie was going to be about.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that whole, like, forbidden love story really kind of, like, that's the part of the movie that gave me all the feels.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, oh my God, this is so sad. But she's so happy. I'm so, you know, and then it's like.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it felt like, I don't know. There's two different stories, and like one of the stories is like more entertaining to me, and that was kind of the less exploited story.
Yeah. And Bobby Riggs was a funny guy.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed, so. They don't make him like unlikable, right? He's just like a pretty likable guy. He's like a good dad almost, kind of. Even though he's got that gambling problem, he's like not that bad. And like he won a Rolls Royce.
He's a winner.
Yeah.
He says he's not a gambler, he's a hustler.
Yeah, at the Gamblers Anonymous, he's like, you're only here because you're a bad gambler.
Yeah. He's like, I'll teach you how to stop losing and be a hustler.
Yeah.
And you're winning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he wasn't so, like, unlikable. And at first that was kind of bothering me because I felt like they should have been making him this unlikable character.
You wanted him to be the villain?
Yeah. But yeah. Then it turns out that he's, like, not the villain in general. And, like, Billie Jean King even mentions that later in the movie.
Right. Yeah, he's playing a part. I mean, she calls him a clown.
He's just putting on this for show. Like, absolutely. He's not this huge asshole. It's, like, the establishment that's... the asshole, you know?
Yeah, what was that guy? Was it Pullman? Which
one? No, it was Jack Kramer. Yeah, Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman?
His character.
Yeah, his character was... he was the asshole. He was the villain.
Yeah.
In the movie, yeah. Yeah.
And he kind of represented, like, tennis as an establishment or, like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was the man.
Yeah, he wouldn't pay the women...
Yeah. Their,
like, equal wages.
One-eighth of what the men were making and... Yeah, I mean, as a movie, like, of... okay, so I wasn't expecting that whole story of equality. I didn't understand going into it what this movie was. I thought it was a comedy about tennis, you know. But
yeah.
This was, like, a real thing that actually happened and went down this way for the most part. It just happened to be in the 70s.
Yeah, is that crazy? Did Billie Jean King really just, like, start... modern, like, the modern tennis, like, WTA?
Yeah.
Like, they still play in the WTA?
Yeah, that's a true story.
She just started that league, just broke off.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I don't really follow tennis, like I said in the last cast. And this movie doesn't make me want to watch tennis. And if you don't like tennis, you can still see this movie. Or if you don't really follow
tennis. There's not a lot of tennis in it.
There's not a lot of tennis, no. Mostly happens off the court, I'd say.
Yeah.
So right
more
off
in the bedroom
bat,
than on the court.
Yeah, definitely more in the bedroom than on the court. I'll just say, like, right off the bat, this movie hit me with a high note because Sarah Silverman came in playing Gladys Heldman.
Yeah, sure.
And like, I love Sarah Silverman. I think she's hilarious, and she was such like a. She wasn't just like a fleeting character in the movie. She was like a mainstay. You know, she was like. Hooking it up with the sponsors, and she was there.
Yeah, she was very important for this. Yeah,
and just constantly funny because of just the character that she played.
Yeah, she was great. And you mentioned that she was like there constantly through the movie. Mm-hmm. There was like a couple scenes where they just teased Chris Parnell and Fred Armisen at you.
No, I know.
It's just like, why couldn't I get more of these guys? Like, let these guys loose.
I know. I wish they brought Chris Parnell back to commentate the event.
Yeah, he just had that one radio show. It was the perfect like role for him.
That was so funny. Because
obviously he's a great voice.
Yeah.
And then they don't use him again. I was like, no. I need more Chris Parnell.
I know. I felt the same way about Fred Armisen's character.
Yeah.
But the thing about Fred Armisen's character is, like, he doesn't speak. But I kept laughing. His physical comedy is so funny. Like, he's just feeding him all these pills, you know? And when Steve Carell's character is walking to the match, he's like, Fred's character is, like, right on his heels. And he hands him, like a cup full of pills.
Yeah.
And he takes all the pills. And then Fred takes the cup and he like looks at it like to make sure there's no pills left.
Yeah, exactly.
Just the little things like that. Just he's so
I know funny. He had like what, like max 3 minutes of screen time, but yeah. The whole time he was on the screen I was laughing. Yeah. Because it's Fred Armisen. Exactly. Of course.
Very memorable. And I was wondering, like, before he said a word, I was like, which accent? Is he gonna have a crazy accent?
Yeah.
And then he didn't have an accent, and then that was funny because I was expecting him to have an accent. He spoke like a totally normal person, like more normal than he's ever spoken in before.
Even Eric Christian Olsen is in it. The guy from like Beer Fest.
Oh,
and
he
was like Bobby Riggs' coach.
Yeah.
Very funny guy, but he didn't get let loose at all.
Yeah, and that's so this movie is full of actors and actresses who are very funny people, comedians even, like actual comedians. And playing it straight. Yeah, for the most part, just playing it straight. But, like, because the story itself and the time period and the whole situation is so ridiculous, it makes sense that they cast comedians in this movie. Because the whole thing's kind of a spoof of itself in a way.
Really?
Well, the situation is so ridiculous. Like, the fact that you have, like, men who are at home being like, yeah, women do belong in the kitchen and stuff, like,
sure,
saying things like that. I'm like, the pig, like, letting the pig loose or running around at the game and stuff like that. It's just ridiculous. It was a ridiculous time and of transition for America and for sports, but for just America in general, as far as equality rights and all that.
Yeah, of course.
And so because of that, we almost like take it with a little bit of comedy, and they sort of are making a mockery of the whole like chauvinistic male with Bobby Riggs and like, but there are guys at home who are taking it seriously. I mean, I'm trying to parallel with something that we come across today, but this is how it starts, you know. Change starts with like a, you know, you say a joke but there's some truth to it, and then change starts from there.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, so I like that. I like this whole, like, progress through comedy. Social progress through social commentary like that.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what I liked about the movie also. Everyone played their roles pretty well. Like, Evan Stone's really good as Billie Jean King.
Yeah, like, too good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a fantastic actress.
Yeah, this was just one of those movies that, I mean, she's in a ton of movies now, you know? And I don't know, this might have been...
Is she?
I feel like she's in everything. Maybe because I just watched La La Land. And
yeah, well, that's like the last movie I can think of.
Maybe I've just watched a lot of Emma Stone movies recently.
But, yeah.
I think this might have been her best performance ever, because it's such a... You could tell it was kind of like a... Probably not an easy role to play for her, because it's unlike any of the other characters she's ever played. She's like playing this woman with a ton of pressure on her, who's like got all this added pressure because she's like secretly gay and like trying to like start this new tennis organization and
trying to make it as successful as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So like she's super driven, super hardworking, but she can't be herself like publicly or really privately because like she's got a husband, and she plays that sort of tortured but still driven and really strong character the whole time.
Her name, very well. Her husband's name was like Larry King.
I know.
And for like a few minutes, I
almost googled it.
Yeah. It's like, nah, I can't be.
That guy wouldn't look like Larry King. That's the only reason.
Wait,
I was
that
like,
guy?
It's like him?
Yeah,
it's not Larry King. No way. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's because I thought the same thing.
Who was that guy again?
Who, the actor?
Yeah, I forgot.
I had seen him in something. I mentioned it right before we started.
Why is he not at the top of the list here?
He's down a little bit.
Oh, here you go. Austin Stowell. Stowell?
Stowell? Stowell. Oh, yeah, he's the other drummer in the Whiplash. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's why.
Also, in our predictions last week, we were talking about how it's kind of weird that there are two directors.
Yes.
Did you look into them at all?
I didn't. No, did you?
No, well, briefly, but they're the same two directors that directed Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, really?
So apparently it's like a package deal. Like, they just do everything together. Oh,
that's kind of cool.
It's like a Coen Brothers kind of thing, I guess.
Oh, I like that.
I'm wondering if they're husband and wife.
Yeah, I wonder too. But I'm not going to look it up. Oh, they did a lot of videos, like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Smashing Pumpkins, videos, yeah. Weezer, Offspring. So back in the late 90s, early 2000s, they had all the cool bands.
Yeah.
They were doing all their music videos. And they did Mr. Show.
How was the music in this movie? Do you remember any of the songs? Because I remember one specifically.
Was it from the nightclub scene?
Yeah, it's Crimson and Clover.
Yeah, Crimson and Clover.
Tommy James and the Shondells.
That was definitely the most standout song in the movie.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped on that.
Yeah. They used to play that a lot where we used to work.
Where?
That was
Mel Cotton's?
Yeah, Mel Cotton's. That was on the rotation, yeah.
Maybe that's why I love it so much, because it's like ingrained in my head.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Brooks sang it at Chris Post's bachelor party.
Oh, fantastic. Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, it was a great performance. Shout out to Brooks Miller.
Yeah, Brooks Miller. What up, Brooks?
There was another song right after it that I don't remember, but I also like it.
Yeah, at that point during that scene, I got distracted because they use that camera trick where they like film the camera through someone's hair so many times.
What?
You know what I mean? Like where they're sort of filming through something. So, like, there's something all blurry in the foreground. Yeah. You see, like, the background as if you're, like, there. Yeah. Like, trying to peek at it through, like, someone's hair. Sure. Or whatever. Like, through, like, a curtain of beads.
I don't know if I like that shot.
I think they use it way too much in this movie.
Yeah.
That right there knocked off.
They use it a lot in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
I see it quite a bit. And every time I see it, I'm just like, is that necessary?
Well, I think it's supposed to be like a point of view kind of deal, you know, where like you kind of feel more like you're there.
It's like, are you supposed to be listening to this or?
Right, a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Like, are you supposed to be seeing this? It's like, oh, this is like just for their eyes. Yeah. You don't really notice it. It's like when they're like making eyes at each other, like Billie Jean and her girlfriend, Marilyn.
Yeah.
And they're like making eyes with each other, but Marilyn's like dancing with that guy on the dance floor. But then they use it a lot throughout the movie. The other thing they do with the camera is like they mix a lot of these like documentary style shots where they're like in the hallway and the camera's like moving, like, you know, like The Office or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? And then they mix that with like an overhead shot. That's okay. Like obviously this is like a crane shot and like you're in it. So it's interesting. Those two, it's like two distinct styles. I feel like that they kind of mash together a little mm-hmm. bit. So, I mean, there's room for both of them in a movie, but it seemed a tiny bit disjointed in the way it was shot to me. A little bit.
Yeah. And you said you docked that 0.5 off of that?
Yeah, 0.5 just for camera work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it could have been an 8.
It could have been an 8.
Subpar camera work.
Yeah. No, it wasn't even like they were well done. It's just the choices were subpar.
Yeah.
Subpar choice making. Steve Carell, this guy is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell, man? It's funny because whenever I see him, I think back to Michael Scott character from The Office.
Yeah.
Wondering, like, how he ever played that dumb. Because he plays such a great, like, scheming, smart, like, too smart for his own good kind of character.
Sure.
That it's just, yeah.
Similar to maybe his role in The Big Short.
The Big Short, sure. Yeah. Perfect example. Yeah, absolutely. He also rocks prosthetics really naturally.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. This role made me think of
What's the Foxcatcher?
Foxcatcher, where he rocks a fake nose.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It is so natural in that movie.
I know, it's crazy. I feel like that's not an easy thing to do.
I wonder, I don't know if he was or not, but he should have been nominated for a role in Foxcatcher. You think anyone gets nominated for their roles in this? Emma Stone?
I could see Emma getting nominated. I could also see Steve getting nominated for something.
Yeah.
For, you know, supporting actor or something.
Sure.
Yeah, I just like, his character was so good. From when he's chasing his son around on the couches.
They're playing the floor is lava.
Playing the floor is lava. Hilarious. Yeah. Like, who puts that in a movie? That was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then he's just like sitting in the parking lot in the Rolls Royce watching TV and just calling people in the middle of the night.
He was nominated
for Foxcatcher.
Our statistician, who's back from his hiatus, is telling us that Steve Carell was nominated for Foxcatcher. Back from
a 2-month vacation.
And boy, are we glad to have him back.
Yeah.
It's in his spirit.
That vacation was not approved, by the way. Did you approve it?
No, you're going to have to talk to HR after this.
Yeah. So he was nominated, as he should be.
Absolutely. Elizabeth Shue.
Do you like Elizabeth Shue?
I do like Elizabeth Shue, and I thought she was really, really good in this also.
Yeah, she was.
I think I can't find, like, a flaw in the casting of this movie. I think everyone they chose played their character, and I think it helps that I don't actually know these people, and I wasn't allowed to see this story.
Oh, yeah.
But the characters are so real.
Well, they show a couple pictures at the end, and they look identical to Steve Carell and Emma Stone.
Yeah, they did so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That last picture they show of them, just like, oh my God. That's not them?
Was that them? I'm wondering, there was a few clips from one of her matches where they were showing her on TV, like other people were watching her on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to figure out if they maybe snuck in some actual footage.
I don't think they did.
You don't think they did?
No. Okay.
I was wondering if they may have.
It could have been possible, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, after seeing the pictures at the end, I would have bought it. And
yeah.
Okay, here's the other thing. Okay, so I may like not really be a huge tennis fan, but it's not an easy sport. And these two looked like they were actually playing some really great tennis. Do you think they were actually out there playing some tennis like that?
I don't know. Maybe.
How do you fake that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. A couple of funny scenes when they're playing tennis is anytime, like, well, at least that first one where Steve Carell or Bobby Riggs is where he wins the Rolls Royce and he's playing tennis with the dogs. He's like, no, bring some chairs out here.
So good.
Yeah, still beats the guy. So Bobby was just like trying to gamble. Like,
yeah, he was just a gambler.
He just wanted to gamble.
Like, tennis was like a side effect of his gambling.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It was just like a... Yeah.
He had already been a tennis player. Now he's just like a gambler.
Yeah.
Just did this to make some money.
Yeah. He found that he had a skill that was a great skill. And like, he didn't even practice, you know?
Yeah.
He just takes pills. Yeah, he just takes pills.
From Fred Armisen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love when Fred Armisen is like describing the pills as if he's like a serious doctor. It was the most 1970s moment. So great.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the dumbest thing ever, thinking that like this is a good idea. He's taking just bowls full of pills.
Yeah.
He's taking like, takes like 400 pills a day or something. He's like, I rattle a little bit, but I feel great. So I guess
you got some info for me?
Yeah, looks like Emma Stone really did learn how to play tennis for this role.
Oh, good. Do you think you could beat her at tennis?
I don't think I could beat anyone at tennis.
Okay.
Let's be fair.
Not your sport?
Yeah, I don't think I've played tennis since high school. Remember that summer when we tried to learn how to play every sport? Or we just tried to play every sport?
I'm just constantly trying to play every sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad we only play 2 sports now.
Yeah.
That was a lot. Trying to play every sport.
We play some doubles tennis or something.
Yeah. I mean, I play a lot of ping pong.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same.
So there's a scene at the beginning of the movie with I don't remember his name. He just keeps calling him Junior, I think. Probably his name is Bobby Riggs Junior or something.
Oh, it's his son. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. But I wanted more scenes from his son. The scene in the beginning of the movie where they're at the dinner table, he's like looking back and forth as he's like, as the two, as his parents are going back and forth and talking. It's kind of like if he's watching tennis.
That's very interesting. I didn't notice that.
That's what I thought immediately.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Even better. that kid was good. He's a good actor too.
He was very good.
Yeah. And I love that scene when he's like a dollar. Trying to get him to bet at the dinner table.
There's no betting at the dinner table. His mom's
like, hey. He's like, no betting at the dinner table. And she's like, no betting anywhere. And then they're like off to the side like, yeah, dollar, dollar, dollar. So classic.
Yeah. And his other son, he just slept at his apartment.
Yeah, you could tell his son was just like sick of his bullshit. And, like, his schemes. He's like, oh, I got ideas. Like, I got...
That like, probably wasn't hurt them all. Probably wasn't Elizabeth Shue's son, right?
No, my guess is that was a previous marriage.
Yeah, that's my guess too.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was happy to see at the end that they show that Elizabeth Shue's character and Steve Carell's character actually did stay together after all that.
Yeah.
That went down.
Yeah, that's a nice story.
They renewed
their vows.
Yeah. And he continued to gamble.
Yeah. I thought she was a little unfair on him. He won that Rolls Royce.
Yeah, and what does she care anyway?
Yeah, she's loaded.
Yeah, she's loaded.
And he's...
Let him have some fun.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's not successful. The guy's on TV, like national television, doing crazy stunts.
Yeah.
Entertaining the entire world.
Making money.
Yeah.
He, like, that first... tennis match he had, it was like for $35,000. It was just like a bet between them.
No, I think
he stood a chance to win $35,000.
Yeah, I think he actually got someone to front $35,000. Yeah, to sponsor it.
Sure.
Yeah. I like how at the end too, he's like wearing the sugar daddy.
Yeah, the jacket.
He doesn't want to take it off because he's like, they're paying me $20,000 to keep it on the whole match.
$40,000.
Hilarious.
But then he had to take it off.
Let me ask you this. Are any of these people actually tennis players? Any like real tennis players who snuck in here for cameos? You recognize any names?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. It just seems like they've been doing that a lot in the movies we've been watching, is sneaking in NASCAR drivers and hockey players. And
yeah.
It's kind of a sports movie thing to do.
We got a question from the audience.
I just got a question and a fun fact.
Ooh, both.
Okay.
Do they talk about the other two Battle of the Sexes?
The other two Battle of the Sexes?
There was one before that one, and there was one after it.
So we talked about last week, there was like a Battle of the Sexes in the 80s, right? And it was about TV stars.
Okay, well, there's one in like...
I keep saying that. I don't even know if that's true.
It's like a game show?
That's what I thought.
This is my fun fact. There was one in 92 with Martina Navratilova and Jimmy Connors, who are both super good at tennis.
Sure.
And Jimmy Connors won 7-5, 6-2. And he apparently bet $1 million on himself, 4-1. That he wouldn't lose more than 8 games.
Oh, geez.
He only lost 7.
Oh, so whoa.
He had a lot of stress on him.
So he made out pretty well. That's a lot of pressure. They talked about pressure a lot in the movie. You know?
They did.
That's a lot of pressure on Jimmy Connors. But no, they didn't talk about any other Battle of Sexes.
Bobby Riggs was in the first one and beat a girl.
Well, yeah, that was court. So that, they
oh,
did.
They talked so talk, they talk about that, okay, yeah.
That
so he beat... Big. Yeah, he beat... the arm.
Court,
yeah. Yeah, I forgot what her first name is. Some
Margaret court. Or something?
Yeah. Margaret
yeah,
Court.
Margaret Court.
She's Australian. But he beats her, and then, like, that's what gets Billie Jean King to be like, all right, well, I know I have to beat him because he embarrassed this other woman.
Yeah. They also sort of vilify her a little bit because she's
who?
Like, Margaret Court.
Oh, yeah.
Because she and her husband are like...
She's a little more conservative.
Very conservative, yeah. And they don't approve of the philandering going on over in Billie Jean
King's
court.
Yeah, they don't like the hairdresser sleeping in their room.
Yeah, not whatnot. At all. They disapprove.
So yeah, then he bets $1 million. It was $100,000 or $1 million on this.
The second one was $100,000 to the winner.
Yeah.
But then he bet $15,000 on himself.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Remember? He lost that. Yeah.
Yeah, so he also lost that bet.
Yeah.
Which is just hilarious. Because the first thing he does, like, runs out to a payphone. Or, like, right before the match, like, the night before.
Oh, yeah.
Runs out to the payphone and calls his bookie.
Yeah. Could be 15,000. Yeah,
15 big ones. Yeah, just that character was so great. Because he just, like, everybody loved Bobby. Him. Bobby Riggs' character, just everybody loved him. Like, the guy was just funny and... surrounded himself with
he was likable, and
yeah,
I mean, I thought they were gonna, like I said earlier, I thought they were gonna make it so he wasn't likable, but
yeah,
he was.
I'm glad they didn't,
and that was the point, I think.
Yeah it was. He was right, exactly. Yeah, and I guess my mom was telling me that she remembers this happening. She was a kid when this all went down, and she said it was sort of the way that it was like a spoof of itself in a way, where they were almost like playing these characters, where he was like playing this male chauvinist, you know, and she was sort of wasn't actually playing, but he was definitely playing like a caricature of himself, you know. And I guess that was the first time that real news, like this match, was sort of portrayed as like something like sort of a spoof of itself. And she said it was sort of the advent of like reality television in a way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this was kind of the first time that people saw this and were like, hey, like, it was real, but like not all the elements were real. The characters were like inflated and exaggerated.
Bobby's kind of putting on a show.
Bobby's, right, he's a showman.
He's just out there to like
entertain
everyone.
Yeah, so this kind of spawned a whole generation of television.
Okay, so what I keep thinking of, I think, is that the Battle of the Network Stars is what I was keep thinking of.
So this is the only thing that's called Battle of the Sexes?
I think so. It's just like three tennis matches. The two that were in the movie and then the one that...
That's so weird because that's like part of the vernacular, right?
Battle of the Sexes?
Sort of.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. I don't know what it's from.
It's still been around for 40 years now.
Yeah, that's true.
The Battle of the Sexes. Oh, it was a show from 76 to 88. 12 years.
So that must be what we're thinking of.
There was a tennis match in 1888.
Some
lady named Lottie Dodd.
Lottie
Dodd? It was considered Lottie
Dodd. Oh, I like
considered
that.
Battle of the Sexes.
Wow.
I don't know if it was officially named that.
Interesting.
They've been doing it.
So it's definitely a thing.
So, let me ask you this. We could have watched a couple other movies came out this weekend, I think. Oh, one of them being Kingsman, The Golden Circle. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Kingsman and The Golden Circle. Jog my memory. What's that one about? Bunch of Englishmen running around.
Seen the trailer about 12 to 1,800 times by now.
Oh, my God. I walked around the corner, and someone's carrying a cup with that... their logo on it and stuff.
So we could have saw that instead. Are you glad we saw this? You gave it a 7.5.
I'm very glad we saw this. Yeah. I'll wait till...
I'm still glad we saw this.
Kingsman 2 comes out on...
I hope the bunchers go out and see it. It's worth seeing, for sure.
Yeah.
Battle of the Sexes.
It's produced by Danny Boyle, which I think is pretty cool. I've worked with Danny Boyle.
I don't put a lot into producer credits.
I know, but I think that's cool just because I like
cool.
Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a great guy.
He worked with him?
Yeah.
For Steve Jobs?
That Steve Jobs movie in San Francisco. I was an extra.
Yeah,
but he actually gave me direction, told me to mill about, walk around in circles.
Sure.
Yeah.
Practically his protege.
Yeah, practically. So he'll probably take credit for discovering me once this podcast really hits.
Yeah.
But
it should be easier to get him on as a guest then.
Yeah, there you go. Think you don't remember me? This guy walking around in circles for you. How do you not remember that? So a four. I'm a little blown away. Was it just that long that it pissed you off? It was. This movie's a long movie. It's really long.
I don't know. Like I said,
I was exhausted.
Yeah, it was pretty long.
I almost took a nap in the middle, but I didn't want to miss anything.
You got those comfy chairs in there.
Yeah.
You're going to want to take a nap.
I was fully reclined.
Yeah.
Fully reclined.
You want to talk about next week?
Sure. What's next week?
We're continuing Domhnall season.
Ooh.
Or Gleason season. Now that we're getting...
now that we know there are
Brian, more Gleasons. Brian Gleason's been in two movies that we've seen already. Yeah. It's American Made.
Ooh.
Starring Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah.
A couple other people. Actually, real quick, let's do some trailer talk.
Trailer talk.
Yes.
Did you see the Domhnall movie?
Which one? Will you see them in your mind? There are Domhnall movies, but for me,
yeah, it was a
description.
Well, it's the only one that Domhnall started is the Goodbye, Christopher Robin.
Oh yeah,
he's just the writer.
How did they not play the Kenny Loggins song for the trailer?
Oh, I don't know.
I was like, I would have probably cried if they had played that Christopher Robin's song by.
They should.
Kenny
Loggins. Why did not?
I don't know.
But. That's not going to be on the schedule or anything, but I'm still going to want to see it.
Yeah, I'll probably see that too. If my movie pass ever shows up, movie pass, you're really not making a good argument for being our number one sponsor.
Hey, let me tell you, movie pass, saw a couple movies this weekend, worked
awful,
flawlessly.
Terrible. Get your shit together.
Keep it up. You're doing a great job.
I've sent like three just... Where is my movie pass inquiries into your question and answer thing on your app?
Okay.
I'm getting nothing.
It's all right. It'll get there.
Any more trailers?
Well, let's talk
Did
about...
Did you see the trailer for that movie Kingsman, The Golden Circle?
They had some weird, like, cross promotion.
Yeah.
And they, like, before the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like some half trailer.
I've seen that before. Yeah, it's like a trailer, but also like buy more movie tickets.
So, American Made next week.
Yeah. What are you thinking? Tom Cruise?
Yeah, I think it's going to be
entertaining. And Domhnall Gleeson.
Domhnall Gleeson, Tom Cruise. Who's the director?
I don't know. But Tom Cruise, usually in terrible movies. Domhnall Gleeson, usually in fantastic movies.
Director's Doug Liman.
Doug Liman.
I don't know what he's done. Bourne movies, it looks like.
Bourne movies.
But I don't know.
I have this theory that Tom Cruise wanted to be Jason Bourne and they didn't give it to him. And so he did Jack Reacher.
And well, maybe now, this is his real redemption.
Maybe
here.
This is the actual, maybe this is the way that the director's going to apologize to him.
He dig the iron. Predictions.
Okay, well, I know it's going to be good. So I'm going to say a 7.
Mm-mm. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about all that. I think Tom Cruise can ruin any movie by just cruising it up a little bit too much.
He's got to beat out how good Domhnall is.
Yeah, so it's going to be it'll be pulling me from both directions, this movie. So we'll see. I'm going to give it a 5, real middle of the road prediction, and see which direction it drags me.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for munching.
Ah. I want to do it.
Say it. You can do it too. You do it too.
Thank you for munching. Munchers. See you next week.
Bye.